to another episode of No Trash, Just Truth.
No Trash, Just Truth is a podcast of Proverbs 910 Ministries. We're your hosts, Rose Spiller
and Chris Paxson.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us for our first episode of our unseries, Anything Goes. It's a series, it's not a series at all. And we have some pretty interesting and we think much needed topics to talk about. And we're excited about this opportunity because we get to talk about things we normally don't in the kind of series that we do. So we hope that you're going to tune in for all the episodes, and we're going to go to the end of the year with these. We've done episodes on cults before. We've covered big cults on past episodes. We did a whole series on Real Truth About False Teaching, and we covered Mormons and Freemasons and things like that. So we've done some of the cults before, and there are so many you can't possibly cover them all. But today we picked out some cults that do warrant some attention. And that's because sometimes they're under our radar. The first one that we picked out that we want to talk about is one that definitely needs attention because it's hiding behind established businesses. And it's nothing new.
It's nothing new at all. I mean, Mo Siegel, who founded Celestial Seasonings and Sleepy Time Teas, belonged to a cult based on a book called the Urantia Cult. This book came out in 1955, and it teaches, among other things, that Jesus and Lucifer and Satan and Adam and Melchizedek are all aliens. They were all aliens who came to Earth, and that Adam and Eve were the perfect blue-eyed, fair-skinned race that would overcome all the inferior races. And he wasn't the only one involved in this as far as entrepreneurs and businessmen, because the person that most likely produced the book was one of the Kellogg's brothers. So you're right, Rose. This is nothing new.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing when you look into things. So we hope that got your attention. The first cult we're going to look at today got its start in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Chris, I was just in Chattanooga the other day.
And were you at the cult?
No, I was not in the cult, just in Chattanooga. And this cult now has reach that spans the entire globe. If you've ever eaten at a Yellow Deli or gotten coffee from a place called Common Ground, no S on the end, you've financially supported a cult known as the 12 Tribes. And if you thought the place seemed a little weird, if you've ever been to one, it might be because their restaurant and coffee shops are used as recruiting grounds for new members. Although that's not the only place where they proselytize.
The cult was started by a man named Gene Spriggs and his wife, Marcia. In the late 1960s and early 70s, there was an evangelical movement on the West Coast of the United States called the Jesus Movement. And this Jesus Movement, although not all the people followed this path, sought to return believers to a life as the early Christians lived in the book of Acts. And many of them viewed traditional church as apostate. And instead of traditional living and traditional worship, many of them lived communally and they practiced asceticism, which is, you know, living austerely and denying yourself sensual pleasures.
And regardless of how you view that movement and the effects that it had on Christianity and the culture, it was made up mostly of young people who eventually got tired of that hippie lifestyle and they stopped living communally. They got tired of not having money. They got jobs and they went about with their lives. There's several churches and parachurch organizations that trace their roots back to the Jesus Movement. Calvary Chapel, Vineyard Churches, and Victory Outreach, and organizations like Jews for Jesus, and there's a few others. And although we might not see 100% eye-to-eye theologically, many of those groups did stay within the bounds of Christian orthodoxy. But another group that formed didn't.
Gene Spriggs was born in 1937 in Chattanooga, Tennessee. As a teenager, he got caught up in a loose lifestyle, the lifestyle of the 60s that lots of people did. His father was a devout Christian, though, and he begged him to give his life to the Lord. But Gene really didn't understand what that meant, so he just continued living fast and loose and marrying and divorcing three times by the time he was in his early 30s. He was plagued by the question of what he had been created to do, and he was also plagued by his father's deathbed plea to give his life to the Lord. So Gene, knowing that he needed a change from the lifestyle that he was doing and having these questions plaguing him, decided to go to California. And he got there just in time to get caught up in the Jesus movement at the age of 33.
Now, eventually, Gene saw the movement starting to wane, and he decided to move back east. There he met an atheist named Marcia. Through Gene's life and teaching, she also gave her life to the Lord, and they were married. They started leading a youth group in their home, and there were youth from different local churches that came. More and more came. Sometimes they came by the truckload.
Yeah, and that youth group eventually became known as the Light Brigade. Some of the youth weren't local, though. Some of them were runaways and hitchhikers who needed a place to stay. By the time 1974 rolled around, 50 to 60 young people were living in their home with them. Many of the youth, along with Gene and Marcia, attended the First Presbyterian Church. That was the local church, one of the local churches in the area. And they attended there until they got there one Sunday, and the church was closed for Super Bowl Sunday.
That led them to start worshiping in the park and calling themselves the Vine Christian Community Church. Gene and Marcia couldn't keep up with all the demands of the youth living with them. I had four kids that I couldn't keep up, let alone 50 and 60.
I can't imagine.
They were also working full-time jobs. So they quit their regular jobs and they opened a coffee shop that they ran out of their house with the young people helping. Eventually, they opened a restaurant too, and they called it the Yellow Deli.
And the Spriggs planted churches. They planted them in Dayton, Tennessee, Mentone, Alabama, and two cities in Georgia, Dalton and Trenton. And whenever they planted a church, they also opened a Yellow Deli to support the church. So obviously, this group was not affiliated with any denomination. And Gene started doing baptisms without any oversight. And guess what? That caught the attention of the local churches that were in denominations. They didn't like it.
Yeah, I can imagine. The attitude of the Chattanooga community, as well as the local churches, began to change towards the group, and people started to refer to it as a cult. In fact, there was a man named Ted Patrick, and he had already started an organization which was to free and deprogram children from other religious groups and cults. And he started to help get children and young adults away from the Vine community, and he wanted them deprogrammed. He tried to deprogram them.
Patrick and his group kept finding ways to get these young people away from the church and deprogram them for years. One of the last times they did it was in 1980, and that was when a police detective falsified a warrant for his daughter's arrest with the support of the local judge. So you can see how people were already seeing there were problems in this church. Eventually, the Spriggs got an invitation for Gene to minister up in a small church in Vermont. And they didn't go at first, but eventually they closed down all the churches and Yellow Delis in the South, except for one, and that was the one in Dalton, Georgia. And they moved all their people who would go at least to Vermont.
So the groups fighting to free the young people from the cult of the Spriggs followed the Spriggs, and they tried to drum up opposition. Accusations were made against at least one of the elders of child abuse and simple assault. Now it was later dropped. And at one point, the Vermont Social Rehabilitation Services seized 112 children in a raid. Now, legally, nothing much came of any of the allegations against them. And even with the scrutiny of the government, the cult kept growing in the 80s and 90s and spread to other countries, spread to Czech Republic, Canada, Australia, Brazil, Spain, Germany, Argentina, and even the UK. They went by other names before finally settling on 12 tribes. So, Chris, what makes them a cult? What do they believe?
Well, they believe that God's plan is to fill the earth with mankind, his highest creation. They believe that every person has a conscience and knows right from wrong. And they also believe that God sent his son, who they refer to as Yeshua, 2,000 years ago, to give hope and to teach true justice to the world, thus creating a radical new society that would be a demonstration of the unity to the world. And they do mention in their belief statement that Yeshua paid for sin and spent 3 days and nights in torment to do it. But he did it to, and this is a quote directly off their website, purchase the whole earth and all its inhabitants. And that's the end of the quote. There's no mention of repentance, only talk of believers, quote unquote, living in this state of radical separation from the world and being zealous for good deeds.
12 Tribe teaches that there will be a time of tribulation, some that would come from living in the midst of a society that contrasted their simple communal life of faith and love. They believe all other religious groups, except for the 12 tribes, have rejected this message and rejected Yeshua. They believe, and I'm quoting here, every believer is called to forsake everything he has for Yeshua, for his message and his kingdom. Whoever gives all shall receive 100 times now in this present age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Now, the group does make people sign over all their earthly goods, whether land, money, whatever. And as in most cults, give up any family that won't come along with you. So who gets all the possessions?
Guess who? Leaders of the cult. They also believe that before the Messiah can return to earth, there must be a people that are separate from the nations of the world obeying his commands, which obviously would be them. For those who do, they believe there's an eternal reward. And they also believe that there will be a judgment of all mankind to determine who is and who is not worthy to fill the universe for eternity. We're going to explain that in a little bit. All people fall into one of these three categories of judgment. And I'm quoting again from their website. The Creator makes a distinction between the righteous, the wicked, and the holy. Three categories of eternal human beings with three distinct prepared places to spend eternity.
So here's a bit about that. And it's right off their website. I'm quoting. Just as in the book of Acts in the New Testament, our life together in the communities of the 12 tribes is the wholehearted response and simple devotion to the life and death and resurrection of the man, Yeshua, the Messiah. The ultimate purpose, redemption. The vast universe with countless trillions of galaxies, each with billions of stars, orbited by countless planets, and for what? The stars were not only meant to gaze upon and wonder, but to colonize forever and ever. And here I thought the stars were to mark seasons and days and time. And
I thought that too, but I guess they believe that they're going to colonize them. And that really sounds like Mormonism and some of the other cults that we've studied.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It sounds like Scientology.
It does. It sounds like Scientology too. And like some other cults that we've mentioned, Rose, like the Sacred Name Movement and Hebrew Roots, they use names like Yahshua and don't use the name Jesus. They also give each other Hebrew names that are meant to reflect these people's personality or whoever, you know, whatever they deem their individual personality to be like. I think that's a red flag when we see that on, you know, social media, when someone's messaging with us and stuff. You see that, you know, it's something.
Definitely.
Almost certainly.
Their children are homeschooled, not to put down homeschooling, but obviously they want them schooled a certain way and have control. So they homeschool. And the males learn an apprenticeship from the men and their families from a very young age. Could be farming, construction, woodworking, whatever. The 12 tribes attempts to support itself through means that allows its members to work together. So they don't need to seek outside employment. And here's a rundown of their businesses, depending on where you live. Some of them might be familiar to you. Parchment Press, which is a printing company offering printing services and also printing and selling the group's literature. They own BOJ Construction, which is a general contractor based in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and operates nationally. Commonwealth Construction, which is found primarily in the southeastern United States, and they own another construction company in Colorado.
They also own Greener Formulas, which is a soap and body care research and development firm, and it has ties to other businesses like their what's called Common Sense Farm. Now, Estee Lauder was using their Common Sense Farm and factory for some of their products until they found out that 14-year-olds were found working in the factory. This cult also owns Mate Factor, a tea company that runs two cafes. One's in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which I'm not going to visit next month when I'm there, Rose. And they own another one in Savannah, Georgia. And in Spain, they run something called the Tribal Trading Store. They've got farms, they've got orchards across the globe. They use those things for their own food, and they use that food that they grow in the yellow delis and in their cafes and restaurants and stuff, but they also sell to local communities. And this is how they make their money. That combined with Yellow Deli, which is something big that they're known by, and Common Ground Cafe. So that's how they support themselves. So if we're doing any of this or using these companies, we're supporting them.
Yeah. Their views are very strict. When it comes to dating, if a man or woman of marrying age is interested in someone, they'll make it known that they're interested, and then they attend group activities with other members of the tribe. If the other members deem they're compatible, they can hold hands, and eventually they'll marry. On one video that was secretly taped, a male member stated, "They told me who I was going to marry, and it was easy. I didn't have to make the decision."
That's pretty darn easy.
Except the people making the decision don't have to live with the decision.
No, they don't. Well, they kind of do because they live in a commune, but I don't know.
That's true.
Anyway, these people are extremely strict with their children. And when it comes to disciplining them, they discipline with the rod pretty much every time for just about anything. They get punished for things like not singing loud enough or making a mistake when they're presenting something, like when they're talking. A lot who have left the group say that these discipline sessions are often more than just spankings. They claim that these spankings are like bloody a lot of times. Sometimes the child can't even come to the worship service for days because they're hurting so bad. And sometimes there's even talk that they've been gang raped for punishment.
Yeah, that's absolutely horrible. And the group has been looked at by law enforcement and child services over and over again in the United States and in other countries due to those allegations of child abuse, like the things you were talking about, Chris, including the FBI looked into them. In Germany, because of the spankings, the group was charged with child abuse. And because the children are helping with the business, they've been charged with violating child labor laws.
The founder of the movement, Albert Eugene Spriggs Jr., died in 2021. And he died while he was visiting his headquarters and they actually have a training facility in Hiddenite, North Carolina. 12 tribes is definitely a cult. They are not Christian. Although I can see how people could get duped into thinking that it was. They use scripture, but they twist it to support their beliefs, just like every false teacher does.
Yep. Some of the FBI investigations have been made public and the names have been redacted. The allegations include everything from child abuse, spousal abuse, gang rape, like you talked about, Chris, which was a form of punishment and also part of a drug-induced ritual that they do. There's also allegations of the possible murder of someone who tried to get out of the cult and tell on it. However, like with all this stuff, hardly anything ever stuck because they don't have enough witnesses.
Yeah. And I know we told you a list of businesses that they own that you're supporting if you use. And we'll admit, it's impossible to find out about links to a cult or something bad that every product we use is supporting. But just know, if you're using those things that we mentioned, you're supporting this cult. And if you become friendly with anybody and somebody wants to take you out to some communal living farm, be on your toes, because the video footage that I saw of it seemed pretty darn creepy. In some ways, they reminded me, because of where I live, of Mennonites, but the Mennonites don't look like that and they don't act like that. These people were guarded and weird.
So hopefully that helps you if you ever come across it. So another cult that we want to look at, and it's two of many Asian cults that have been flying under the radar, but really need to be brought out in the open. The first is a South Korean cult that goes by the names of New Heaven, New Earth. It also goes by the name Shinchunzi. So here's a really long name, something that the Korean cults are known for, and that's Church of Jesus, the Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony. This is a worldwide organization, and it's spreading rapidly.
Yes, it is. And I'm laughing at the long name, not the fact that it's spreading rapidly. New Heaven, New Earth cult was founded by Lee Man He on March 14, 1984, and it came to the United States in 1994. Lee Man He has many writings and sermons, and very few of them are in English. This group used to be more secretive in its proselytizing, but in recent years, they are becoming very aggressive, and they're actively trying to recruit new members in countries other than South Korea, and they're specifically targeting the United States, India, Mongolia, South Africa, and some other countries.
Lee Man He claims to have had many supernatural visitation by glowing balls of light. In 1957, when he was 26, he joined a cult called the Olive Tree Movement, and he remained steeped in that false teaching for 10 years. While he was part of the Olive Tree, another cult formed called the Tabernacle Temple. Now, the Tabernacle Temple was formed by seven men who were gathered for Bible study when they claimed they heard the voice of Jesus choosing them as the seven angels or messengers of Revelation 1:16. They say Jesus then proceeded to teach them for 100 days in order to bring back his true church and replace the corrupt version of Christianity that had been prevalent almost from the beginning. And this is what they say Jesus said.
In the spring of 1967, Lee Man He claims that he was guided by a large star. Sounds like follow the star to Jesus, right? Anyway, he was guided by a large star to join the Tabernacle Temple. He left that cult in 1971, but according to Lee, Jesus appeared to him and sent him back to the Tabernacle Temple 6 years later. 3 years after that, Man He claims that an angel dressed in traditional Korean garb appeared to him and commanded him to eat a small book so that he would be able to understand the book of Revelation. Sounds like the Apostle John in Revelation 10, doesn't it?
It does.
So in 1984, Lee Man He established the New Heavens, New Earth Church, something that he considered a restoration of the Tabernacle Temple, which in the eyes of him had fallen into apostasy. So they got good with these seven men, and then they fell into apostasy.
So what does the New Heavens and New Earth Church believe? Well, they believe that they're the only true church. Gosh, do we hear that about every single one of these cults?
Yep.
They also think that all of the events of Revelation have already had their physical fulfillment in South Korea in the past few decades, except for the events in chapters 18 to 20. So it's kind of like partial preterism, although there's no partial preterists that believe everything happened in South Korea that I know of.
No, definitely not. But it is kind of like that in a way.
They believe that prior to the New Heavens, New Earth Church forming, a person could be saved by faith in Jesus. But now, in order to be saved, you must be a member of the church. And you must understand the parables as they interpret them. And you must believe Lee Man He's testimony. Again, boy, this is just every single cult.
Every single one. Lee Man He's cult does not believe in the Trinity, and they do not believe in Christ's deity either. As far as his resurrection, they believe that Jesus was raised in spirit and that he has already returned way back in 1966 when he started teaching this true message in South Korea. The Sinchonji, or New Heavens, New Earth Church, believes in the thousand-year millennial reign, and they believe that started in 1984. And they believe that the great tribulation that's talked about in the Bible was the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay. The group conceals its identity when it first meets its possible recruits. But their language sounds very Christianese. A recruit's first step is to attend a Bible basics class. They can do it in person or online. And they're taught foundational lessons on the Bible. Next, they do a beginner's lesson on the parables called the Secrets of the Bible. Then there's a third step where they're taught lessons from Genesis to Jude, and they end with the advanced class on the fulfillment of Revelation.
all according to their interpretation. But it sounds like Christianese, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you might say, oh, okay, well, they're going to teach the Bible. That can't be bad.
I know.
Unless they're not teaching the Bible.
Yeah, that's why you need to know your Bible. This worldwide group is dangerous, not only because they teach a false doctrine, but they're very active and very deceptive, trying to bring in new members. They believe that it's perfectly okay to outright lie to do this. Recruiters falsely claim that the group believes in the Trinity. Then they try to lure Christians to their own houses of false worship by naming their individual churches and their outreach groups something that sounds really mainstream Christian. Here's some of the names. Houston Christian Fellowship. Would you know anything from that name?
No.
Living Bread Ministries.
I've heard of them.
There's a lot of them like that, but it's a little bit difficult to find the names sometimes, but yet they have these names that just sound like any Christian church might be called. That's why it's so important to read their statements of faith and look at their website as much as you can. But like, there's also places in Atlanta and other places where the church's name is New Heaven, New Earth Church of Atlanta, which still really doesn't sound that bad. It sounds bad to us now that we know about them, but you wouldn't really know.
No. They also try to infiltrate churches, trying to get members through Bible studies, and also trying to get pastors to let them in the door to teach. Pastor Drew Sagala of Calvary Chapel in Queens, New York, is trying to sound the alarm based on what happened to him in 2021. He tells the story of being at his church when three men approached him and asked if he was the pastor. The three men were dressed nice. They spoke nicely to him, and they told him they wanted to network with churches in the area in order to bring them together for the same cause. They claim their church teaches the entire Bible and that their organization had recently graduated 100,000 students.
Yeah, and that statement alone got the attention of Pastor Sagala. They should have gone to another church if they'd done their homework. He knew just from that there were barely any churches in New York that preached the whole way through the Bible. So to have 100,000 students graduate from a church that did that was pretty darn unlikely. So his guard got up right away, but he continued to listen to him. And the men said, we want to teach our word, right? And he continued to listen for a little while, trying to figure out more about them. And they were prodding him to get information about him and his church and their members. The experience, in his opinion, was like having three car salesmen pounce on you all at once. They were really insistent and they wanted to make an appointment with him. And they left him with two flyers, one in English and one in Spanish. So they're going after every possible avenue almost that they can. They were very zealous, and that makes them very dangerous.
Again, like all cults, there's a zeal to them. You know, you kind of wish real Christians were just as zealous.
I totally agree with you.
So the last cult that we're going to deal with today is another one that was brought here from South Korea. It's called the World Mission Society Church of God. Sounds like a Christian organization, doesn't it?
But yeah, it sure does.
But it's not. They don't let that stop them from claiming to be Christian, though. Even though they're not Christian, as many of these aren't, they still say they are. Their website says, and I'm quoting, they're a non-denominational Christian church. Like many other cults, this one also spans the globe. The church believes in Christ and calls him An Sang Hang. This probably won't be surprising to hear, Chris, but their mission is to restore the truth of the early church.
That's what most of their missions, they claim, are. No, not surprised at all. The first thing they state on their website under beliefs is that the Bible is the standard of Christianity. Go figure. They practice the Saturday Sabbath and they hold to seven feasts. Now, these pretty much mirror the ones in the Bible in some ways, or at least in most ways. But there's one which is called the New Covenant Passover. And that's a celebration that, according to their website, says that it grants God's people protection from disasters, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. Now, Rose, if I was going to list them on my website, Which one do you think I'd put first?
Yeah. And protection from disasters, that's pretty easy to show that that's not working.
I know. I just thought it was so funny because that's how they list them too.
Yeah,
I
mean, that is
stupid. Anyway, okay. Anyway, we'll go on with what they believe.
Well, according to their website, God is Savior, but he changes his name through the ages according to his three-stage plan. There's the age of the Father, the age of the Son, in which his name was Jesus the Christ, Asan Hong, like we said, and finally the age of the Spirit. They believe Jesus died and was resurrected, but that he's already come a second time. Unlike the New Heaven, New Earth cult, they think he came in 1948. And when he did that, he established the New Covenant Passover, the one that we just mentioned. And that's the one that protects you from disasters. So Jesus came back a second time to protect people from disasters?
In 48, that was his second coming, according to these people.
There's been no disaster since 1948.
I'd like to see a little street rumble between the two.
Yeah.
But Rose, there's someone else that they believe in too, besides the Father God who changes over three different stages. If there's a Father, Rose, there's got to be a what?
Well, I know the answer is probably Mother, even though that's not the case with God, but.
Yeah, but they say there's Mother. If there's God the Father, there's got to be God the Mother. The World Mission Society Church of God believes that, and I'm quoting again from their website, we can only receive life through God the Mother. And that's the end of that quote. Seeing Father and Mother as the pattern for all living organisms, according to their website, ultimately, the mother is the one who gives life to their children. When God created human beings, he said, "Let us." This shows that God is more than one. God created males and females as a reflection of the male and female images of God. So God the Father is called Jesus and then eventually the Spirit. But there were only two, him and the mother, the father and the mother.
This stuff all makes me physically ill. I cringe and I get very angry. They believe, again, I'm quoting, that God the Father and God the Mother have been working together for our salvation since the creation of the world. But according to the Bible, the last days is the time for God the Mother to be revealed. So she was there at creation, but she's not going to be revealed till the end.
I'll tell you what, Rose, this mother stuff, it just reminds me of how people feel about Mary in the Catholic Church. Because if you look at that stupid picture, which I hate, and I'm going to do a post about that again soon, that one that the nun drew where it's Mary and Eve and Mary's foot is on the head of the serpent.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's Mary that crushed the serpent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this mother stuff just reminds me of that. Anyway, I don't mean to interrupt what we're doing, but.
No, I think it all goes back to feminism. Like, Jesus is a man. Like, why are women so threatened by that? And some men, I guess, are threatened by it too, because it's not just women that are spewing this garbage.
No.
They say sometime in the last days, God the Father, who is spirit at this point in this age, and God the Mother, who they believe is his bride, Jerusalem, will appear together to call their children to receive the water of eternal life. And they take that part from Revelation 22:17, which says, the Spirit and the bride say, come.
They've got 7,500 churches across the globe and 3 million members at this point. They claim to follow the Bible. Their website is top notch. When you look on it, it's smooth as silk. It is top notch. And the pictures in it, including the worship pictures, everybody's dressed normal, very nicely. The men are wearing suits and everything just seems so normal, except there's one picture when all the women in the worship service have the same exact veil on. That's the only thing that seems the least bit odd at all on the website as far as the pictures go. The website says they share the love of God through volunteer activities, and their website shows these pictures of them doing all kinds of things, including like doing huge blood drives and serving in disaster relief areas. And
wait a minute. Why do they need to serve in disaster relief?
Well, obviously, because they didn't have disaster happen. So they got to help the poor peons that aren't in their cult.
The unbelievers who aren't getting protection from disaster.
Yeah, and probably proselytized to them.
You know what? Sorry this happened, but hey, you could have been protected from it.
Yeah. And probably bringing them in when they're at a vulnerable time and they think they can have protection the next time. But the point is, this is going to be attractive to people.
Yeah, I don't doubt that it is attractive, especially if you've been through a disaster and they tell you, hey, you can be protected from this next time. And besides all that, they aggressively recruit. Again, they're zealous for their movement. They go door to door. They go in shopping malls, colleges, and hospitals. But they seem to target vulnerable people, people like veterans, ethnic minorities, college students, particularly young women who might be lured into the cult because of God the Mother.
Like you were saying.
Yeah. Either they're feminists and they like the idea of God the Mother, or maybe they've been abused or they've had a terrible father figure. So God the Mother seems like a nice alternative. It's been so bad that there's colleges that have banned them. And Chris, here's a shocker. One of their main targets is people with money. I wonder why.
Yeah, because that's not important to any cult. Whereas what young people today, and probably a lot of people that are older may have forgotten, won't even have known about, is that this cult prophesied the end of the world back in 1988. And a few thousand members met on the top of a mountain at the start of the year, waiting to be raptured. When it didn't happen, what did they do? They did what every other cult that does this does. And they claimed, oh no, it wasn't supposed to happen. Now it's going to happen at the 1988 Olympics, which started later in the year and was in Seoul. And then they declared the end of the world several times, only just to bilk people out of money.
How many times can you fall for this stuff?
I don't know.
Money, power, control. They're the main reasons all these cults exist and why the cult leaders do what they do. Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard said, you want to make millions of dollars? Start a religion.
Yeah, that's
what
he did.
Which is what he did, and that's how he made millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. And he's dead, and the next person that took over is making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And we're going to mention L. Ron Hubbard in a much worse way in some ways in another episode in this series. He's not a good guy.
No, he's not a good guy at all.
He wasn't when he was here.
He's a charlatan, just like all these people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we need to be aware of this stuff. And we need to be on our toes because there's a lot of new ones out there already. They're popping up every day. And there's going to be more coming down the pike. We've been warned about this. Clearly in the New Testament, we are warned that there will be many coming saying they're Jesus or in Jesus's name. And they're going to be false. And we need to be aware of it. In fact, Jesus says, if it were possible, even the elect would be duped. So
yeah, so we need to be on our toes.
Absolutely.
And you know, this is a really, really good time to say our famous words, which is study the Bible. Make sure you know it.
Yeah.
Lots of this stuff sounds familiar. It sounds Christian-y. You know, I know we sound like a broken record, but this is no time to dilly-dally, and this is no time to let your friends dilly-dally. Got to learn it.
Yep. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Yep. We didn't choose that verse for no reason. And that's a good place to end for today. Be sure to join us next week. We're going to talk about the impending World War III that we might all find ourselves thrown into. Will that signify the end of the world? There are lots and lots of people speculating that it will, and lots of people of wondering if it will. So join us as we discuss it. Have a blessed day, everyone.